Well, good morning, Metropolitan. If you would stand, let's grab our hymn books and turn to page 137. We'll sing Joy to the World. Sing with me.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart.
The world going to see that joy? Better see it in us, right? That joy that the Lord has brought to us, that, oh my, that the world has no understanding of. And so, as I look around here, I'm just not too sure how joyful you all are. That's a little bit better. Thank you. Amen. It's good to be here. Good to see each and every one of you. Thankful for visitors in our midst this morning, and that's always a blessing. It's a blessing to have the Martins back today. Amen. David and Kelsey and Lucas, he looked happy to be back this morning as he was greeting everybody this morning. It was a blessing. Brother David will be preaching for us in a little bit. Looking forward to that. Well, let's take a couple minutes, church, and welcome each other. Make sure you welcome our visitors. Let's do that.
If you would return to your seats, let's also turn to 135. Hark the Herald.
Hark the Herald, angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy by your. Come, design the nations come.
Stand once more. Let's turn to page 139. See the first and last.
On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading. Oh,
Please be seated. Just a quick announcement about Project Nativity. This apparently has become a regular thing during Project Nativity time that I do announcements before the other announcements. But the Project Nativity announcements for this week are, tonight I am glad to tell you that the stages are pretty much ready to be hauled out and put in their respective positions in preparation for Project Nativity this weekend, Thursday night starting final dress rehearsals, and then Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. So I am very excited about that. We need some help tonight after church. Any strong, able bodies, and even the non-strong, able bodies, if you want to just look around and tell us what to do, that's fine too. But we need to get the stages out of the gym and put in front, by the front foyer and back here behind the nursery. Puppet stage is going to stay where it's at for now until Wednesday night. But we need some people to help with moving those stages out and getting them ready for Project Nativity. So please be prepared to do that tonight. Maybe bring a change of clothes if you need to, but we'll need some help to get those out there tonight. Please. Thank you very much. Oh, and we also have several, a few hundred at least, of these to hand out. So please take a stack of these with you and hand them out at work or school or wherever you go, and let people know that we're doing Project Nativity this weekend. What a great testimony this is in our community to Lake Worth. I didn't realize this, but people apparently have been calling up to the church sometimes and been saying that if we're going to have Project Nativity, if we're going to do that thing. So we're known for this. This is a light to our community. Okay, people know Metropolitan because of this, at least. So what a great testimony to our church that we do that. Thank you. God bless.
Ma'am, please come forward for the offering. It's good to see you this morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Visitors, thank you for coming and joining us this morning. Of course, you know that we are getting ready for Christmas, and Jesus is the reason why we celebrate Christmas and the gift that was given through our Lord. Announcements for this month. Ladies ensemble practice today at 4:15. Lifeline screening sign-up sheets. If you are interested, there's more information at the Welcome Center. Tuesday, January the 29th, 2019. Ladies Fellowship with Kelsey Martin, 6:30, December the 11th, in Pastor's Class. Bring your favorite snacks. And by the way, Brother David, it's good to see you and your wife and little Lucas. I haven't seen them yet, but I want to see them. Hope Ministry every Friday at 7 p.m. The Bruce Martin family, the Wayne Hudson family, and Tom Gaudette family have a new prayer letters out at the front, and a Christmas card mailbox. Boxes have been set on both ends of the building, right here in the front foyer and on the side foyer for the Christmas cards, Christmas parties. Today, the primary class will be having a Christmas party today after service, so see Ms. Sherry for more details. And we need to see the parents that have children in the youth to set up a Christmas day. Not sure when y'all will be free, so if y'all can see us after service. And Project Nativity, of course, you heard Brother John speak of that, and we do have a lot of work to do still, but I'm just thankful for the opportunity, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to serve you here at Metropolitan, Lord, each and every one of us that serve and those that are here today. Father, we pray that we can be that light to our community, and Father, we just pray that we honor you and glorify you with this Project Nativity, and just pray to share the gospel. Pray that you put everyone in their place. We thank you for Brother David being here. We pray that you be with them as he brings your word. Pray that you be with our hearts and our minds, and as we hear it, Father, and pray that you be with the offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Christ, no jewels, no kingdom to rule, no crown of majesty, no throne and no robe, no silver, no gold, no courts of royalty. Yet the King of Kings left heaven to become a lowly man. He left all heaven's glory to fulfill his Father's plan. And he still came just for me. He still came, knowing all he would endure. He still came, disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross. He still came just for me. He still came. No family, no friends to help at the end, and no out, no substitute. Much pain and much hurt to give love and worth, he bore our sins' abuse. Yet the hope that he offered so outweighed what must be done. He chose to be my victor and assured my pardon won. And he still came just for me. He still
I guess it was a little over 13 months ago. We said our goodbyes to David and Kelsey and Lucas as they left for Argentina, and they've had a pretty busy 13 months. And it's good to have them home. Asked David to come this morning. I talked to him the other day on the phone before they'd even left. I said, asked him if he would like to preach for us this morning, and of course, David never says no to an opportunity to preach, and so that's good. And so please pray for him. He's going to give us a bit of a report, whatever the Lord tells him to do there. And pray for them. They will be doing a lot of traveling over the next about 4 weeks to getting around to family and, of course, their church family and so forth. There's no way that Miss Kelsey could spend time with each and every one of you ladies, so that's why they set up the Opportunity Tuesday. So be mindful of that, ladies. Some of you that are new, if you want to get to opportunity to get to know her a little bit more, and of course for all of our ladies as well, be mindful Tuesday evening. They'll be having that fellowship while the guys are enjoying smoked meat over at Shady Oaks. So be mindful of that as well, guys. David, come and preach for us.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you. It's a great joy to be with you all here. A lot has happened, transpired within a little over a year. New faces, some people who I have never met. That's always a good thing. It's amazing how much a church changes just within a year. And then almost feel like the new person. Sometimes I remember one time that whenever we were in Honduras and we came back and there's a new person, go, oh, we're glad for you visiting here. It's like, no, we're not visiting. We've been members for a long time, but we've just been out of the country ministering. But we are glad to be here. We're also grateful for Kelsey's brother that he gave he helped us to be able to come back during this time to help Kelsey with the loss of the miscarriage. And we're grateful that we could be here with family during this Christmas time. During the year that we were over there in Argentina, we were very busy getting ready for the Youth Olympics. Y'all have already heard several reports on with that, that we had a very good outreach. We were able to reach over 160 countries with the gospel. The response that we got from the Argentine people, though, was very disheartening to myself. I really saw the hardness of the Argentine people. One day I was out with the group handing out tracts, and this old gentleman was running by over there near the park, and he got it, and he saw it, and he gave me this real nasty look, and then he tore up the tract just right in front of it me, and then threw the pieces there in my face. And that's the type of thing that we dealt with quite a bit. On the back, I had my cell phone number that they could text me, and was getting a lot of nasty text messages. One of the days we were handing out tracts, we were close to a demonstration that they were doing of trying to legalize abortion within the country. And so then the pro-abortion crowd got several of the tracts, and they didn't like those, and so that I was getting inundated with nasty text message for the next 3 or 4 days from the group. And very disheartening. I was telling Dad and Brother Tom that I go, it just gets very disheartening whenever you see people's reaction to this of the gospel. But even Paul met the same way, that people were hardened, but he focused on those who would respond. We are grateful that we were able to get some good contacts. We got a good contact of one lady, that she is Muslim. She is not from an Arab country. She's actually from there in Argentina, and she converted to Islam. And she even went to Syria for a month to do a trip there for part of her pilgrimage with her Muslim religion. And really, more than in talking with her, she converted to Islam because she's very lonely. She doesn't have a lot of friends. She had a very rough life. She was kicked out of her home when she was 13 years old. Almost everyone over there in Argentina at a very young age has either been addicted to drugs or on drugs. Even right now in the country, with one of the police officers we were talking with, who's a member of one of the churches, he says, "Well, we're having a lot of problems." He says, "Today alone, we had 17 calls, and 14 of them were family members that they were calling because their 9-year-old kid is addicted to drugs, and by law, they're not allowed to spank them. They can't do anything. And so then, as a last resort, they call us police to try to deal with the kid, because if the kid and his high or does anything illegal, the parent's responsible, so then they call us." So those are the type of things that we're dealing with a lot there in the country. We're planning on doing a counseling conference in June of next year to equip and help a lot of these churches and how that they can counsel people with these addictions. So I ask that you do pray for that, as that's going to be one of the big things that we're going to be doing. And also, we're going to be, as soon as we get back, we're going to be preparing to go up north to the town of Corrientes, which is our original plan of being based out of and working out over there. So we got to find a house, and then pray that we can find an affordable house. Over there in Argentina, they require you to put another form of property up as a guarantee if you're going to rent, because that way then if you don't pay your rent, then they'll put a lien on that property. Well, since we're foreigners and we do not have any property, we would have to pay the 2 full years of rent up front with that. So do pray about those needs, and then all that. Right now, we didn't have to do it the place that we're renting, because we're renting from Brother Gabi's aunt, and so she's allowing us to pay month to month. But we're hoping that we can find a place that they'll allow us to do the same thing without having to pay 2 full years of rent up front. So many things there, and hopefully if you'll have any questions or anything later on of many of the things that happened this past year, just I could actually take up the whole time doing that, but I won't. But many things there that have happened and have going on, we're really grateful for your prayers. Let's open up our Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to be going to a very familiar passage, but I want us to focus on an aspect that I have not really heard focused on or seen before, but I want us to look at it. Here in John chapter 4, we're seeing the passage of the woman at the well. It's a story that if you've been in church long, that I'm sure you've heard many sermons preached on this very same passage. And we're going to be starting in verse 19 in the middle of the discourse that God is having here, Christ is having here with this woman. That she is surprised that he even asked her for water, because The Jews and Samaritans, they have a strong dislike for each other, and she's even amazed that him being a Jew, that he would ask her, one, because she's a woman, second, because she's a Samaritan, for water. And then God says, well, go bring your husband. She says, well, I have no husband. And then he says, of truth, you have five. And so then she has this conviction of her sin. And I don't know if you've ever had it to where you have conversations with people and you're giving them the gospel and then they get convicted. And then they try to bring the conversation to something else. They usually do that very quickly. They ask a question. Well, what about this? Well, she does that in the conversation, and she brings up a topic that at the time was controversial. Worship is not even controversial today. I'm even starting on some series of sermons about controversial subjects of today that really, when you look at debate, it always comes down to a definition of a word. Four of the words that are hotly debated today is worship, judging, salvation, and then also then, forgot the other one there in my notes, but I have it there, but that they're very hotly contested words of really what the definition, and she asks here about with worship. We're going to start here in verse 19. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, that you please open up our eyes, help me to have clarity in my communication. And I pray, Father in heaven, that as we even get together today, that we would worship, and as we look at your truth, that we would worship you today, even as our passage says, in spirit and in truth. In your name I pray, amen. So we see here that she goes to a very controversial subject that she says, hey, there's this debate. Y'all say that we have to go to Jerusalem. We say that we can worship here in this mountain. What is this about worship? Even today, it's a very hotly contested subject. If you even get believers or other Christians together and you start having a conversation about it, it will get very heated probably within 5 minutes, probably even less, because it is a very hotly contested subject. But first I want us to look at what she was talking about was the place of worship. The place of worship. And that's what she was focusing on. She was saying, well, what is the place to be worshiping at? Now keep in mind that in the Jewish tradition, that God had set up a place, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, he spoke that he said that I would set up a place for the people to come worship. During the times in the wilderness, as soon as they left Egypt, they had set up the tabernacle. That was the place that they were to offer their sacrifices and come to God to worship him. And then they had the temple over there in Jerusalem. And you even see it that that was an important place to have, because the kings even tried to dissuade the people from going to Jerusalem, because he says, I don't want the people going to Jerusalem to worship, because then they'll probably reunify the kingdom. So they were trying to dissuade them from going to Jerusalem to worship. And God was saying, there's going to be a time is coming, where the place that you worship will not matter. And that's where we are today. We are to worship as a congregation, but you know that where we congregate really does not matter.
That's right.
You can go to a place in Africa where I've been able to visit Brother Hammett, and the people get together, sing songs underneath the tree. No building whatsoever. The place of the worship really does not matter. But he was saying it was going to be changing. Why was this change going to be having place? Well, keep in mind that where they went to worship was where God manifested his presence. There in the Holy of Holies, there in the temple, God's presence was manifested. Today, you know where God's presence is? Ourselves.
That's right.
It says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, that Paul even says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost?"
Amen.
See, that's where the place of worship didn't matter. Because why? Because God no longer was going to be just residing in one particular spot where they had to come and worship. God now resides in us if you're a believer. And it comes down to also another very important point. You really can't worship God unless if you're a believer, because you don't have his spirit in you. If you want to be a true worshiper of God, you have to have God's spirit residing in you. But this is why the place of worship wasn't mattering, because if you're a believer and you're saved, God resides in you. Keep in mind that that also is a very important about what we do with our temples, our bodies is so important. That is why I am against tattoos. I am against drinking. And a lot of people, I ask them, I go, "Well, because of this convicting passage to me, why?" Because my body is not my own. God says, "I am bought with a price, and my temple is of God's."
Amen.
Now, you can try to reason that away as much as you want. But I will tell you one thing. All of us will give account to God.
Amen.
You have the truth laid out before you in black and white. And you have to give account to God with what you do with your body, with your temple. I'm glad I don't have to give account of what you do, but I will tell you the truth about what the Bible says. And we do have to be very careful what we do with our bodies. That's why even with our sin, it's a very grave thing. The Bible even speaks that adultery is a sin that we do with our body.
Right.
And it's a very grave thing. But today, people have it so flippantly. Even this past week, I don't even want to give them the name Christian, but these so-called, well, today they call them spiritual leaders, or whatever name, adjective you want to give them. But they're trying to say that that it's so backwards, it's so old-fashioned to wait for marriage to have sexual relations. And they were even trying to do somersaults with the Bible passages and saying, "Oh, no, it's okay." Actually, the Bible's very clear that it's not.
Amen.
And what we do with our bodies is very important.
Amen.
Why? Because we worship God with our bodies. It is the place now where God resides. And worship is a personal thing. That's why you have to worship yourself with your body. That's why we sing. Why? Because it's a part of our worship of using our voice. That is even why we hear the word of God, because it's an aspect of that we are listening to have God change our hearts. The place of worship, the physical place, is not no more that we have to go to a specific place, but the place where God resides with our body, we do have to be careful with what we do with our body. But let's also look at the person of worship. Because you say, there in verse 20, God was saying the place of the worship was going to change, but he took her back to the worship. Because he says, "You don't know what you worship." The Jews, we know what we worship, because he says, salvation comes from the Jews. And you might be saying, where do you get the person from that? Well, if you read on, do you not see that she says, "I know that the Messiah will come"? Why? Because that is what the Jews were looking for, that they knew when they talked about salvation, it was of the Messiah and it was of the person. Many today are in the same state of this woman, that they don't know what they are worshiping.
Amen.
Many today worship more of an ideal than a person. You can see all these pithy statements over there on Facebook, or these things that seem really wow. My mom showed me one of her extended family members over in Florida that says, my religion is very simple. It's compassion, equality, and all these other different words. And you know what it was? It was an ideal. And that's what it is for many people. Their religion, what they're worshiping, is an ideal and not a person.
Amen.
That is why the person of Jesus Christ is very important.
Yes,
look at the book of Hebrews. The author puts central, even in the first chapter, of talking about the centrality of Jesus Christ, because that is where salvation totally is dependent upon. And it is the person who we worship. People today worship many different things. I can take you to Thailand, where they worship statues, where they call it Buddha. I can even take you to Catholic countries, where they still worship these saints and their statues and their stones. They have eyes that they see not. They have ears and they don't hear. And really, the people have no knowledge of what they worship. Some think that they don't worship anything, but they worship themselves. It's very staggering to me as we constantly talk to people over there in Argentina. Even one time there was a man that I was waiting to get in line to get my pass for the Youth Olympic Games. As we were waiting, it was a long line because it was free. Argentines will take anything as long as for free. So there we were sitting 2 hours to get our passes. And then I was strike up a conversation with a guy and I asked him, I says, well, what do you think happens after we die? And he told me this. He says, I've never thought about it. And I was just staggered. I said, so it's never come to your mind of really what's the point of life or what really happens? He says, no, I've really never given much thought about it. Really, I'm just content with being a better person and leaving this world a better place. And I said, well, how do you do that? How do you even be a better person? He says, well, you just do good things. Well, what kind of good things? Well, just be kind and be nice. And I says, and you think that with that your soul is at peace, that you're okay with what happens? He says, oh, I really don't care with what happens to me after I die. I says, well, when you get to that point, you will care.
Yes. Amen.
And then it'll be too late.
Yes. Amen.
And there are so many people that are just like that, that God says, you don't know what you worship. There are many people that they don't know the person that they are worshiping. Sad to say, I can even say from friends that I grew up with, that I even sat in a chapel service in school, sat even with the youth department, and that now today aren't even in church. Some even claim to be atheists. Can I tell you, at your age, they did not know what they were worshiping. Because they did not know the person.
Amen.
That they were worshiping.
Right.
There is no true worship. Because he says, the true worshipers shall worship. There is no true worship without knowing the person of the worship.
That's right.
You have to know the person of the worship. And that is why I even say, in the most central point that we're going to see throughout all of these points, is that if you want to be a true worshiper, you have to be saved and have to have Christ in you. Because you are not a true worshiper if you're an unbeliever.
Amen.
I can come and sit in any form of church service, but that does not make you a worshiper.
No.
It makes you a worshiper when you know the person first of worship, and then you actually give something to him and say thank you, give him honor, give him thanks. See, today, many people, you know what they worship? The ideal that I'll get something out of God. That is what a lot of people worship. What if God had never given us promise that he would not give us our needs? He does give us that in Scripture. I just want to be clear. But what if God did not give us any promise in Scripture other than we would be with him forever in heaven? That we wouldn't have anything. We'd be destitute. We'd be poor. Nothing. People would, that would change a lot for a lot of people, because you know what a lot of people do? They go to church trying to look for blessings. And you know what they're worshiping? They're worshiping the blessings rather than the person, because they're trying to get the blessings.
Yes, sir.
And even if we even can go over there to Deuteronomy, God even warned the nation of Israel. He says, be careful, and that your heart be not deceived, that you turn to other gods. Why? Because they could very easily deceive themselves, thinking we are worshiping, and you know what? They had gotten to that point. When you read the book of Isaiah, God was saying, I'm done with your sacrifices. They were doing all the things, the steps that they needed to do, but it wasn't real worship. Why? Because their motive was not right, and they were not focusing on the person of the worship. It's all about the person of the worship. That's why we always say, it's all about Christ.
Amen.
One of the things that I have been praying this week, as soon as I learned that I'd be preaching, I say, Lord, more than anything, I want this to be a worshipful time.
Amen.
I don't want people leaving this place saying, well, that was a good sermon. I want people leaving saying, we worship God today.
Amen.
Because that is why we are here.
That's right.
I'm not here to feel better about myself. I'm not here to see what kind of pep talk I can get. If you talk to a lot of people, and if when you talk to them, they say, oh, I listen to this person because he makes me feel good. That's not what church is. It's worship.
Amen.
And when I go to church, I should be able to go, you know what? I really worship God today. I should not be going saying, well, man, I feel so much better about myself. How is that focusing on the person of worship? We have to focus on the person of worship. And then also looking here, we have to see here the personal manner in which we worship. And look here, it's non-negotiable. If we see there in verse 24, it says, must worship. The manner and how that we worship is very important. And he says there in spirit, which going back to the same point, that you cannot really worship God unless you have the Holy Spirit within
Amen.
You. You cannot. You have to have God's Spirit in you. Also, the reason why you have to have God's Spirit in you is because in order to know truth, you have to have His Spirit.
Right.
Scripture says that God's Spirit will guide us into
Amen.
All truth. You will not know truth unless if you have His Spirit. And you can't even understand truth unless if you have His Spirit.
Amen.
Whenever we talk to people over there in Argentina, they constantly say, well, I've read the Bible and I didn't get it. Well, the reason why is because it's a spiritual book and you need the Holy Spirit
Amen.
To guide you into all truth.
Amen.
You need to have the person. But so many people, they just want to focus on, if I feel good, an emotion. You know that today I could very easily stir up your emotion to have you feel something and then still not have it be worship. I saw a video recently of this guy who gave a TED talk. He was a former wrestler. And then he was talking about how that the WWE, even despite being fake and even despite, I think it's the stupidest thing ever, but he's going on talking about, we have over 20 million people who are fans of the WWE. I'm like, what? And then you know what he said? The people who are in charge of, you know what they say? We want people to feel, not to think. And he says, it's a whole lot easier for me to get you to feel something than for me to have you think something.
Amen.
And so then what I want people to do is either love it or hate it. I want you to feel something. And that is where we are today with our culture. It's all emotionally based about with everything.
Yeah.
That we always want to make decisions based upon emotion and not about truth.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And that is why we have such a lack of truth, and that is why our worship is so anemic, because there is no more truth in our worship. If I think that preaching is the most important part of worship, why? Because it's a proclamation of truth.
Amen.
And it says it must, spirit and truth. If we don't have truth whenever we come to worship, it's not true worship. But you won't have an understanding of that worship unless if you have the Holy Spirit of God within you.
Amen.
And it's a must. That word there is very important. It's a must.
Yes.
If you don't have those, you won't have a personal worship of God. And that's why I would say worship is personal. Yes, we do worship corporately together. The Bible's very clear of that, of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. But you know that you can worship God in your home, in your closet, while you're there praying and reading your Bible.
That's right.
You can worship God. Worship shouldn't just come about through a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. It needs to be a constant thing in your own life. And the manner you do it is by spirit and truth. That is why we tell people, hey, have a daily Bible reading time. Have a daily prayer time. Why? Because your spirit is communing with God and talking to God, which is the essence of worship. But we don't have that today. It's all about what'll make me feel good. We can focus a lot about the empty seats, the people that are missing, and we do want to encourage and move people to worship the true God.
Yes, amen.
But it has to be about all pointing towards the person of the worship.
Amen.
Not about, hey, come and feel together, feel good with me, but let's go and worship together the person. Isn't that what Christ's disciples did? That even one of his disciples went and told his brother, hey, come see over here. We have found the Messiah. And he says, we have found the true God. We have found Christ, the person of it. But we don't know what we are worshiping. And many have no concept of it. Because they have not gotten down that it's a necessity. It's a must with spirit and truth. And if you're here today and you do not know Christ, you really cannot worship him until you know him.
Right.
Because then you're just like this woman, that you know not what you worship. And I think that, and the Bible says there'll be many that are like that. That they says, Lord, did we not do this? They're in Matthew. And God says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Because their hearts are deceived. We need to get back to the person of worship.
Amen.
And we need to get back to saying, hey, let's go worship God.
Amen.
Right now with our son on Sundays, Lucas, he gets very excited about church time. He goes, I'm going to go see my friends. We're excited that he's going to go get see his friends. But Kelsey and I are working. We're going to go worship Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because even at this early age, we want him to understand, what is the purpose of church?
Right.
It's worship.
Amen.
It's not just something that mom and dad do. Because if you think that that's something that just mom and dad will do, I'll tell you what. I have friends that they no longer come to church, and you'll be the same road that they are in.
That's right.
That's right.
So many of them. Even looking around here, I can only think of two people that are still in church that were in my youth department. And at the time, I remember when I was at youth camp, and then our youth pastor at the time says, hey, he got four people together. He says, this is my youth group, and we're all the only ones that are in church. And we thought, how staggering that that's not going to happen to us. Well, it did. Why? Because they did not know who they were worshiping.
Amen.
They didn't know the person of the worship. We need to get back to the person of the worship. Not focus so much on well, I want to have an emotional experience. I want to go hear a good sermon. I want to be able to go see this and that person. It comes down to worship. Who are you worshiping today? Who is it that you want to worship? We need to have the yearning of Paul that whether by my life or by my death, he wanted to glorify God with every inch of his being and with his whole body, with everything that he was. That is true worship. And we're not going to get to that point unless if we love God and we love him for what he has already done for us.
Amen.
See, I don't try to come to church to see what kind of blessings I can get out of God. That's treating God as a Santa Claus. Don't come to God for trying to say, well, and you know what? People do it all the time because whenever they have problems, what do? They start coming to church. And they really don't want their problems fixed. They want their consequences to be gone.
Right.
Hence, they want blessings. And you know what? They're worshiping the blessings. They're not worshiping the person.
Amen.
What are you worshiping today? Do you know what you're worshiping? Father in heaven, pray, Lord God, that you'd work in our hearts and that we be true worshipers. We see there, Lord, that you are looking for true worshipers, and we must worship in spirit and in truth. I pray, Father in heaven, that we worship you today. Let this be a worshipful time. In your name I pray. Amen.
Together, folks. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, David. Worship. It's giving to God what He so richly deserves. Ascribing to Him His worth. And oh, is He worthy. David's absolutely right. You can't worship this great God until you know Him. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Most important question. Should ever be asked the most important thing, most important question you can never answer? The only right answer is yes, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I belong to Him. And so as we close the service and have a time of invitation, of course, these altars are open. Please, please make use of them as the Lord would direct. And beloved brother and sister, maybe this morning need to regroup. Consider, just what am I worshiping? Where do I fit into this? Have I lost sight of the worship, the person of worship? As David said, we want to worship the blessings rather than the blesser. Oh my, might our hearts be in tune with Him this morning. Please, Brother John, you have a song for us.
160.
As we sing, folks, please respond to the messages we've heard it today exactly as the Lord would have you. Please obey Him as we sing.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for all that hath their Savior, and life more abundant and free.
Amen. Amen. Indeed, it is good to have the Martins back. It's good to have David preach for us this morning. Appreciate him. Appreciate his love for his God and his love for the Word of God. Amen, my brother. Amen. Right. Well, John, come.
Go tell it on the mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Quick announcement about choir. Choir practice at 5:15, and then Project Nativity music stop at 5:30. So 5:15 for regular choir, then